And here we go, and away we go. It is a Friday, Getaway Friday, January the 3rd, 2020, the first Friday of 2020. 13 minutes past the hour, and I know a lot of people are going back to school today. And apparently, I didn't realize this was such a controversy because Marion City Schools are starting back today instead of on Monday, but trust me, they are. I've seen it posted all over Facebook, and I passed by the high school this morning, and they are back up and in full operation. But look on the bright side. If you're going back to school today, it's not bad weather out there this morning. Raining instead of snowing, and the temperature is not that bad at all. So I hope you're having a great time going back to school today after the big holiday break, and I hope everybody makes it today. Now, I've got something fun plan to do here this morning, but before I do that, there are a few things I wanted to talk about. Last night, have you ever had one of those nights where you really didn't expect anything out of the ordinary to happen, and then something out of the ordinary happened, and it turned out to be quite fun? Well, last night was one of those nights. I had gotten home yesterday, probably about 5 o'clock, and I was waiting really to do nothing last night. I was going to cook something for dinner. I didn't have any big, huge plans. And I got a phone call probably, well, it was a little after 6 o'clock from a friend who needed to go run an errand and asked me if I wanted to run an errand with them. And they wanted to see the new car that I had. And I said, well, that'll be fine. Let's do that. It was just about 5 minutes from my house, the errand we needed to run. So by the time we had run this errand, we had decided that we were going to go out and eat somewhere, but didn't really know where we were going to go out and eat. So we start driving kind of just all over Marion. We went all up and down Route 95. We went downtown here, and then we ended up on Delaware Avenue. And ended up going to East of Chicago Pizza. And again, East of Chicago has not paid for any advertisement. They are not a supporter of the station. We've never received any money, to my knowledge, from East of Chicago Pizza. But I do want to tell you, we went to East of Chicago Pizza last night, and we had the pizza buffet. And that is delicious pizza over there. Willie's last name just went out of my head. But Willie does a, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Willie Pickens. Willie does a great job over there at East of Chicago. And the East of Chicago pizza really is kind of a deep dish Chicago-style pizza. And I really think in Marion, it's probably the only place you can get a pizza like that. Deep dish. And the buffet is really reasonable. I forget what we paid last night, but it seems to me for both of us and having drinks and the buffet, it was something like $22 for two people. Not bad at all. That's in the McDonald's price range nowadays. Certainly a lot lower than any restaurant you would go to. But it's my understanding, and I don't know this for sure. I've never really talked to Willie about this, but I think Willie learned to cook in the war. I think he was, I'm going to say Vietnam War is the war that Willie Pickens would have been in. I don't know that for sure. But that he learned to cook because he cooked for the people in the war and has certainly kept doing that. So East of Chicago Pizza, great pizza. And we had a lot of laughs there last night, myself and this other person, which is kind of the point of this story. You know, the unexpected sometimes can be the most fun you have. And none of it was planned. None of it was predetermined last night. And we just laughed and laughed and laughed. And then the fun part of this, which I want to bring up. We get back in the car, and I don't know if I said this or not, but my car has a CD player. The new car I have has a CD player, which is kind of neat. I don't know how many people use CDs anymore, but it's nice to have a CD player in the car. So I had a CD that I had in the car because I was just checking to make sure the CD player worked. I guess I'm anal retentive like that. So I put the CD in the CD player, and it had a bunch of, you know, songs that I like, mixed songs, older songs from the 90s. And isn't it sad that now we would call songs from the 90s old songs? Songs from the 90s and 2000s. So we've got the CD playing, and myself and this other person knew a lot of the song lyrics because they were songs that we had heard a lot of times. So we're driving up and down the streets here of Marion, singing those songs, and just having a great time last night. And sometimes you just have to do that on a Thursday night. No big Friday night or Saturday night plans. No big holiday plans. Just out having a good time. So I wanted to mention that because anytime you think you are having a bad day, even though I wasn't having a bad day yesterday, anytime you might be having a bad day or just think nothing's going on, the holidays are over, and boy, everything's depressing, and it's all went away, well, hey, just go out and have some fun with somebody. It will do you well. And I did want to mention East of Chicago, because the other day I mentioned Steve Dakota Grill and how great I thought that was, and I put East of Chicago right there. So if you see Willie Pickens or happen to go over there tonight for dinner, tell him we talked about him on the radio here at WWGH Radio, and we think he's doing a great job. And ask him about his service in the military. I believe that's true. I believe I've heard that, but I've never had that conversation directly with Willie. So bring that up to him. And I wanted to bring this up for another reason. The other reason is one of my favorite topics, if you've listened to this station for years now, this has went on. I do a lot of talking about love. And for a long time, I said that love and marriage were kind of a sham. Now, I do think, before I say that, I want to say this. I do think if you were married, if you're under 40 years or over 40 years of age, if you're over 40 years of age, I think you probably got married for the right reasons. And I think your marriage will probably last. And I'm not really speaking to you. I'm speaking to people age 40 and younger, because here's where I think the marriage problems are. And here's where I think there's not really love. I think people think they're in love, but I think they're in something else. It's too difficult with the internet age and Facebook and social media and Twitter and emails and pictures people send to really be in what we would call love. I don't think people really are in love. I think people fool themselves because they don't want to be alone. I think they're maybe alone and they're starting to feel lonely. So they like the attention of somebody. They like somebody being there. And they probably do think they're in love, because you do get a nice feeling when somebody's paying attention to you. I think that's kind of nice. But it's probably not love, because if you're with that person for a little bit of time, you will eventually find that you are no longer in love with them, that they are kind of annoying and driving you crazy. So a few months ago, I said, well, on this program, I have changed my whole philosophy on love, and I am in love and all this sort of thing. And I even had a listener come by and comment on they thought I knew the person that I was in love with. And during the New Year's program the other night, somebody called in and suggested that I would propose to somebody. They were way off base with the person who I would propose to. But, I don't think that I am in love, because I think that I was just temporarily insane, which I think is what that it does to you. So Just wanted to mention that because I like to keep you updated on what's going on, because I really don't plan anything in regard to this show. So if something changes, I like to let you know. So that's my new thought on the love thing. But as far as love goes, I loved the pizza last night, and I also loved being out and having a good time with the person who I was out with last night, who will remain nameless at this point. For good reasons, but it's not the person you think. So, the first name that popped in your head, it's not that person. Okay, enough about that, but say hello to Willie tonight if you go out to East of Chicago Pizza. Now, let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, this is kind of fun. Okay, which story do I want to go to here quickly? Well, we'll go to this one, and maybe I'll save the next one for the next few minutes. 22, coming up on 23 minutes past the hour here. Okay, one of the songs that was on this CD last night that was playing in the car as I was driving around Marion with the person I went out last night was Cheeseburger in Paradise by Jimmy Buffett. Now, I had not heard that song in quite a while, because when I'm in the car, I usually have talk radio on, and I really don't play CDs a lot. So the fact that this song came on kind of triggered something in my memory. And I don't know if I've ever even told this story on the air, but I'm going to tell it now. Here's what Cheeseburger in Paradise triggers in my mind. Long time ago, I believe it was 2006, so we're talking 14 years ago now, I was asked to host kind of a variety show here in Marion. And we did it at the Harding Hotel, downtown Marion, just up the road here across the street from the Palace. And basically my job during the show was to introduce acts and keep the show moving, I guess, and do funny little skits in between the acts, I guess is how it would kind of go. So we usually did it in the lobby of the Harding Hotel. The lobby was great. It had two entrances. It was easy to get in and out. The chairs were nice in the lobby of the Harding Hotel. It worked perfectly. Well, we did a bunch of these shows. Well, we were doing one in, I believe it was December of 2006. And the Harding Hotel called because they knew we had always used the lobby. And they said, we actually have the lobby booked on that night you want to use. So could you move up to the ballroom of the Harding Hotel? Well, I didn't even know the Harding Hotel had a ballroom. I'd never been in the ballroom. I knew it was on the second floor. I was a little worried about that because I knew a lot of musical acts brought their instruments, and we had show choirs and things like that. So they said, no, we got elevators, two staircases. It'll be easy. Okay. So I get there early that day, and the first problem I realize, even though the ballroom is great, the ballroom only has one entrance, and it's from the back of the room. And there's no real place to stand to the side in the ballroom like there was down in the lobby. In the lobby, you could stand over by the stairwell, or you could stand over by the door, or you could, because the performing was going on in the front of the room, and you could stand in the front of the room because there were several entrances and exits in the lobby of the Harding Hotel. Well, the ballroom wasn't like that. The ballroom had one entrance, in and out. And the performing area was at the opposite end of the entrance. So all the acts had to enter from the back of the room and walk by the crowd, the audience, to perform. It didn't end up being a huge problem. It ended up being a huge problem for me because I was on between every act. So when I would introduce an act, I would have to then walk down that aisle and go back to the back of the room and stand, or either go back out in the hallway. And I always got caught as a show choir or a musical performance or Ronald McDonald or whoever was there was going toward the stage. So it's really not an important fact, but for the particulars of this story, but I'm just filling you in because it's radio and we've got time to talk. So this is going on. We're having this in the ballroom of the Harding Hotel downtown. Okay. It's a great night. The performances are going well. I remember there was a gentleman named Mark Seckel who performed as Ronald McDonald. He was probably one of the best Ronald McDonalds I had ever seen. I believe he has since retired in this area, but he was a great Ronald McDonald. A matter of fact, I never saw Mark out of costume. So I have no idea what Mark looked like in real life. If I saw Mark in real life, I would have no idea. But he looked just like Ronald McDonald in the television commercials and how Ronald looks on all the statues and candies and cookies that are in the McDonald's Happy Meals. So he was a great Ronald McDonald. So Mark Seckel was there as Ronald McDonald, and we had the A&W Root Beer Bear, which you've probably seen dancing in front of A&W on Route 95 at one point or another. It's a huge bear with an orange A&W t-shirt on. And we had Madge Cooper was there, and Marianne Michaels, and Dave Kaler was at that particular show. Trella Romine, a lot of great people from Marion history telling us interesting facts. Just a lot of fun people there that night. In any event, the reason I tell you this, how does this tie into Jimmy Buffett's Cheeseburger in Paradise? We had two show choirs performing that night, and we tried to separate them, one in the middle of the show and one at the very end. Now, I honestly cannot remember the show choir that performed at the end of the show. I don't remember, so I'm not just leaving that out for the purposes of this story. I just don't remember which show choir it was. I know it was a Marion school. A matter of fact, it wasn't a Marion school, and I just remembered which show choir it was. But I'm not going to tell you, because I don't, you know, well, it's 14 years ago, but I'm still not going to tell you for this reason. But they were going on last. Okay, I'm getting a call here. Right in the middle of my story, I'm getting a call. Let's go. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead. Caller, are you there? Are you there, caller? Well, maybe we're not there. Well, if you'd like to give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So, we had this show choir performing last, and then we had the show choir at that time from Harding High School performing in the middle of the show. Okay, so I've seen show choirs perform. I've seen a lot of show choirs perform. The Harding Show Choir gets up to perform, and usually there are certain songs that most all show choirs do. Very rarely do they break out and perform other songs, it seems like. Now, that may have changed since 2006, but back then a lot of the show choirs were pretty well doing standard songs. So anyway, the Harding High School Show Choir of 2006 gets up to perform, and they did a choreographed dance to the song Jimmy Buffett's Cheeseburger in Paradise, and everybody in that room was shocked at how good they were. The fact that the band that was performing with them could perform that song, that the show choir could sing that song just as Jimmy Buffett did, the fact that they had choreographed this dance to Cheeseburger in Paradise that was so good, they had the kids picking up other kids and carrying them around. It was just the most spectacular performance, I think, to this day that I've ever seen by a high school show choir doing anything. And it was their finale number, and I think they knew how good it was. And that is what I picture every time I see or hear Cheeseburger in Paradise by Jimmy Buffett. Now, the interesting thing about this is they were so good that I knew there was another charity show coming up in 2007, and I asked them to come back and perform that same song, and they did, and it went over as just as well the second time. Now, the reason I didn't want to mention the second show choir is, after they performed in the middle of the show, they were so good that that second show choir, because I was standing in the back of the room with them as they were getting ready to go on and close the show, was so paranoid about going out there and performing because of how good the Harding High School show choir had been. And interestingly enough, I do remember this. At this time, the show choir was under the direction of Ann Schertzer, the mayor's wife. Although he was not, I don't think he was the mayor then. 2006, he was not the mayor. Jack Kellogg was still the mayor. But Ann Schertzer was the director of that group, and that performance, to me, is still one of the all-time, if not the greatest show choir performance I've ever seen. As far as single performances go, that performance of Cheeseburger in Paradise by Jimmy Buffett and the choreographed nature that went with it, you know, it's on tape somewhere. I don't think it's on YouTube, but I still think I have it on a VHS tape that somebody gave me from back then because Harding Telecom filmed the event. It was amazing, and I'm glad that that tape lives on somewhere. I haven't seen it in a long time. I'll have to pull it out and watch it because it was just an amazing performance. And I remember everybody there from Madge to Trella to Dave Kaler, everybody, the other show choir, just commented on how good they were and what a unique performance that was. So every time I think of the song Cheeseburger in Paradise, I think of that song and Ann Schertzer's direction, because the show choir is really, really comes down to the direction that you have of that particular group. And they did a tremendous, tremendous job. So that's what I think of when I hear the song Cheeseburger in Paradise, which I heard last night. Now, this brings up a whole other thing. And this memory did not come to me until this morning. But as I told you, at those shows, we had the A&W Root Beer Bear. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen the A&W Root Beer Bear, but it's a big costume, kind of like you would see at Disney World or someplace like that. It's a big, probably 8-foot bear, and he's got an orange t-shirt, or an orange sweater on, I think, that says A&W. And the bear couldn't talk, because there was really no mouth for the bear, and really all he did was kind of jump. We would announce the A&W Root Beer Bear, and he would kind of come out and he would jump around a little bit, and we would thank A&W for being a part of the show. So that's pretty much all the bear did. Well, the bear was with us like 2 or 3 times, so eventually we decided, we know the bear can't talk, so what can we do with the A&W Root Beer Bear that would be interesting? Well, here's what we decided. We came up with this idea that we would find a huge box, big 8-foot box, and we would put the A&W Root Beer Bear in this big 8-foot box. Now, the box wasn't closed. It was just put over top of the bear. And then we would put a little hole in the box, a little square hole, that the bear could put its paw out of. The hand of the bear could fit through the paw. Okay. So the idea behind this was, we were going to say that a package was delivered. And then a couple people who were working backstage at the show would move this box out onto the stage and say that the package was there for, I believe it was Sean, who was taking part in this skit. The idea was Sean wanted to open up this package, and I didn't want him to open up this package. Something like that. That was the idea behind it. And people in the audience would be able to see the bear's paw sticking out of the little square hole in the box. And then eventually the idea was that they would take the box out, they would take the box up while my back was turned to the box. And of course the A&W Root Beer Bear would be there jumping around. So when I would turn around after seeing the box there, the A&W Root Beer Bear would be dancing and singing Bear Necessities. Bear Necessities would be playing from the Jungle Book, and it would just be a big thing. Scare me, you know, I would kind of run to the side, or startle me or something like that. That was the idea. You know, now that I explain this, I think, well, maybe it wasn't such a good idea, but that was the idea we came up with. for the A&W Root Beer Bear. Okay. Now, what could go wrong with that? Well, let me tell you what went wrong. We were in the lobby of the Harding Hotel. As I said, most of these shows were done in the lobby. This one, this particular one, was done in the lobby. Okay. Well, here's the thing. I never really saw who was in the costume because I was busy doing other things. The A&W Root Beer Bear costume. And basically, it was always a different person because they would just send a worker over, usually a young kid who was probably working part-time at A&W, and they would put them in this big A&W Root Beer Bear costume. Well, I didn't talk to them before the show, never had before, so that wasn't something we did. Well, I'm off in the wing getting ready to go on stage, and I see the bear coming over, but again, we had no conversation. And I go out on the stage, and I'm starting to introduce the fact that this big package had been delivered. Now, kind of off in my purview, my eye, corner of my eye, I could see that they were having trouble getting the bear in the box. Now, I thought it was because this bear was so big, and it's, you know, it's hard to get a bear because you had to put the box over top of the bear. So I just thought they were having trouble getting the box over top of the bear. So I could see this struggle going on. So we go out on stage, and I'm having this conversation with Sean about we're not going to open up this. I don't like the idea that this package has been delivered, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so finally I see the stage hand. It's taking a long time to get this box out on stage, much longer than I would normally think it would take. So finally the two stage hands get the box out on the stage. And immediately this hand comes out of the box a lot quicker than it should have in the original idea. And I was standing right in front of the box, and it grabbed my arm, which was not supposed to happen, because the idea was only the audience was supposed to see the hand coming out of the box. I wasn't supposed to see it until they lifted the box off of the bear, and then the bear would dance around and, you know, startle me. So I feel the hand on my arm, and it's squeezing my arm. And then it's got a hold of my hand, because now I'm trying to knock the hand back into the box, and now it's squeezing my hand, and kind of hard squeezing my hand. And I can hear the box, like, jumbling and rattling and all these things going on, and I thought, what in the world is going on? So one of the stagehands is standing off to the side of the stage, and I hear one of them yell, "Hurry up! Hurry up!" And I'm thinking, why are they hurrying me along? I don't get what's going on here. But anyway, I just hurried it up. We cut out a bunch of dialogue that I was having with Sean with this big A&W root beer box. And the idea then was the two stage hands came out while my back was turned, and they pulled the box off the top of the A&W root beer bear. And the A&W root beer bear, I turn around, he startles me, and he dances around for a minute, and then he hightailed it off the stage. And I thought, well, what was that? So I introduced the next act, and then I go off into the stage wing to see what had happened. Why did this happen the way it happened? Okay, here's what had happened. Now, as Paul Harvey would say, you want to know the rest of the story? Well, here's the rest of the story. What had happened was they took this part-time kid from A&W who had no idea what he was getting into, and they put him over at the Harding Hotel in this big bear costume, which, again, it was very hard to see in the costume. It was, you couldn't talk in the costume, big costume. Well, as the stage hands were putting the box over top of the kid, which the kid did not know was happening until he got there that night. So now not only does he have the A&W Root Beer Bear costume on, he finds out that this big box is going to go over top of him. Well, the kid was claustrophobic. And of course, nobody knew that the kid was claustrophobic until that exact moment. And this is one of those cases where, hey, the show must go on. So the stagehands, even knowing the kid was claustrophobic, thought, well, we got to put this box over top of this kid. So they did. And they pushed him out on the stage. So when he was grabbing my hand and my arm, he was really just petrified and trying to punch his way out of that box. Because he was in a dark box, in a dark A&W root beer bear costume. And now that I think about that story, when I think of when they took that box off the A&W root beer bear, he was so... And Bear Necessities from the Jungle Book was playing on the PA system. He was so... I don't even know what you would call it. He was so happy to be out of that box. I've never seen an 8-foot bear jump that high. He was ecstatic. So that goes back to even the Cheeseburger in Paradise story. That is a story that I had not thought about for a long time. But life and times with the A&W root beer bear. What a remembrance that is. Well, anybody have anything on their mind this morning? 43 minutes past the hour here on this Getaway Friday morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. I would love to hear what you have to say about anything I've talked about already. From the A&W Root Beer Bear incident to the Marion Harding High School show choir under the direction of Ann Schertzer doing Cheeseburger in Paradise to last night going out to East of Chicago Pizza, having some fun driving around Marion. Does anybody else just have nice, clean, pure fun like that? I'll never forget those moments. Those are some moments in life you just never, ever forget. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You know, I remember that well.
You remember the A&W Root Beer Bears story?
Yes, that was that kid. I think he might have peed his pants. I don't know, but he was really terrified in that box. He was very nervous, as it was, from the word get-go. I don't know why he didn't tell nobody he was claustrophobic or whatever.
Well, it was my understanding that he did tell somebody that he was claustrophobic right as they were putting the box over top of him.
He's definitely nervous, that's for sure.
So you were there that night. What do you remember about that? Because you were off the stage a little longer than I was. What was going on when they were putting the box over that kid?
As far as I know, what I remember is he was really nervous and shaky. But he ended up doing it, I guess. I just remember that they were struggling because he did not want to be in that box at all, but I think they just shoved it down on him. I don't know what they did exactly, but he wanted out there fast, it looked like.
Do you remember his hand coming out of the box?
Yeah, he got close to you. I remember, because I was beside you, and I remember seeing it. I said, well, this is not part of the trip, and I was like, what's going on here? Did something change that we didn't know about? And he didn't have a hold of you pretty well. Get me out of this box now.
Well, and I couldn't hear him through the box, and he had this big bear costume. I had no idea what was going on. I mean, I would have tried to get him out of there quicker had I known what was going on, but I did not know until after he was out of the box and we were back over on the side of the stage.
Yeah, I just looked, because I was standing beside you, I remember, and I looked over and I kept seeing this box shaking really, really, really hard, and I was like, what the heck is going on there? And, come to find out, he went out of that box.
He wanted out of the box. Do you remember the other incident with the A&W Root Beer Bear when we were up in the ballroom? Because apparently, it's still my understanding that they could not see very well in that costume. For some reason, they couldn't talk and they couldn't see. And
I'm not sure. I think the eyes were closed. I don't know. I think they were like sewn shut or something. I can't remember exactly what it looked like, but I remember that. I know the mouth. There was nothing on the mouth. It was like the mouth was like sewn shut. But I can't remember if the eyes were like. I can't remember exactly what it looked like. It's been so long ago, but I do remember the huge costume.
But do you remember the one we did up in the ballroom? We only did one show up in the ballroom. And the A&W Root Beer Bear was up there. And I can't remember what idea we... Because it was hard to come up with ideas for that bear because he couldn't talk. And he really couldn't do anything because the costume was kind of stiff. So you really couldn't do much with the bear except bring it out on stage. And I remember we were doing something in the ballroom up there with the bear, and I don't even, maybe we were just bringing it out on stage and he was going to dance to Bear Necessities or something like that. But I remember we were up on the stage, and as I said, when we were up in the ballroom, we all had to enter from the back, so you couldn't just walk off the side of the stage. You actually had to walk back through the crowd and go out the back door because there was only one entrance. And I remember being up on stage with the bear. And I remember he started to dance to Bear Necessities, and we were getting ready to leave the stage because I'd introduced the next act, and the bear was like walking toward the back of the room and walking to the side of the room, and then I realized the bear can't see.
Nobody got him off the stage.
No, so I had to go grab the bear, wrangle the bear up, and make sure he got off the stage. You still there? Oh, go ahead.
All right, so it kind of worked out great, though, because a lot of people thought it was part of the act.
Yeah, a lot of people probably did, but boy, I'll tell you, that poor A&W Root Beer Bear... You know, I think it was a good idea to have it there like Ronald McDonald. But Ronald could do things because, you know, he just had makeup on his face and he was a very good performer. He did a lot of magic. He did a lot of songs. He was a good performer. But that bear, there was only just so much you could do with that bear.
You're right, because the costume now, you know, it was pretty much sewn shut, I guess.
Now, of those variety shows that we did, what is do you remember the Cheeseburger in Paradise by the Harding Choir with Ann Schertzer at the helm?
I do. It was really good. The crowd was going wild that night. They really liked that song. They got them in the groove, I should say.
Well, have you ever seen? To this day, I've never seen a show choir perform a song that well that so many people knew, and the choreography to that, the way they danced, I just think was one of the most, to me it's still the most tremendous performance I've ever seen by a show choir of a single song.
And I believe, I'm trying to think, was that at the Women's Club?
No, those were both, one was up in the ballroom of the Harding Hotel, and then one was down in the lobby.
Right.
They did it twice.
That's right. What's the choir that we had at the Women's Club? Who was that? Bridgedale?
No, I don't remember. I know that the only choir that never performed, we had Cardington, we had Harding, we had Pleasant quite a few times, we had Ridgedale one time, we had, I think, Elgin one time. I think the only school that we never had was River Valley, and I don't remember what the reason for that was.
I think it's because usually in the wintertime, aren't they, like, traveling or something? Or
why don't all the other choirs came?
I'm not sure. I thought they were, like, busy doing stuff. I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, we also did one in the spring.
Right. Yeah, we did. We did one in the spring. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure why River Valley never was able to come, but.
But this is, you know, 10 years ago now. I'm sure the choir's under a completely different direction now, and. But I do remember those performances. But boy, that performance by and Pleasant was always good too. Pleasant's choir was very, very sharp. Always put together a very sharp and strong choreographed performance.
Yeah, I remember. I think we had Pleasant at the when they were at the when we did our show at the Palace Theater, right? I think we brought in Pleasant.
Pleasant was there a lot. Pleasant did the Palace Theater. Pleasant did the Harding Hotel. Pleasant did the River Valley High School. Pleasant did the Women's Club. Pleasant did, I think there were about 15 of those shows altogether. But I know Pleasant probably did, they were there more than anybody. They probably did 7 or 8 of those shows.
Yeah, I remember, because they had to bring their high risers, and they went all out, and we want to thank all the choirs over the years to help us out on all that stuff, too. That's great.
Well, some better than others, but Pleasant was always good, and Harding, of course, was great at that point under the direction of Ann Schertzer. I think we only had them twice, but they were both very good. But I don't know if I want to thank them all, though, because I do remember sometimes people getting in arguments with the... It was never me. Honestly, because I was usually off doing something else. But I do remember hearing about people getting in arguments with the choir directors sometimes. Not Harding and not Pleasant, but I do remember some other choir directors having some issues. I think you at some point had some issues with some choir directors.
I can't remember. You know, when I'm the director of the show and I got to try to get everybody lined up, sometimes it is stressful. It might have been some heated conversations, but, you know, it's been so long ago, I can't remember exactly what all went down. But, you know, when you're a director, you have to make sure everything, you know, a lot of people like to change their own ways, and, you know, no. You're a director for a reason. When you're directing the show, this is the way you want it to go. You're not going to have somebody else say, I want to change it in the middle of the thing. No. We already have this planned out, and this is the way it's going to go. And sometimes you just have to stand your ground and take care of it, you know what I mean? So.
Well, there have been some disasters. I mean, now some of them were just great, but I do remember the time that the music did not work, so all night we did not have music. Do you remember that one? That was up at the Harding Hotel.
I remember that one, yeah.
And then I remember the one that was the worst was when the sound didn't work. The microphones didn't work all night.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one that you and Martha Dell, you guys would dance with no music.
Yeah, that was the one with no music. We were supposed to do a little, Martha was supposed to teach me how to dance, and the music never came on.
Yeah.
So there we were just doing like a waltz with no music. And then the one without the microphone, that was awful. Because, I mean, the singers were okay, because you can hear a singer, because they project, and the choirs were okay, but when I had to come out there and introduce an act with no microphone, you know, I had to scream all night long.
Yeah.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah. I remember that we had Ed Asner that night.
That was Ed Asner.
On top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So every time I went out on stage, I'm looking right at Ed Asner's face as I'm having to scream everything.
Yeah, of all days, not having microphones when we brought a big celebrity like that in was not a very good point in the head thing.
Well, I don't even know what happened. I remember that we had a sound person that night, and I remember they brought their sound equipment in, and then for some reason they decided not to use it, that they were going to use the school's sound equipment, and they were not familiar with it. And it never worked.
Yeah, it was something else, that's for sure. But now we had some good times as well.
Well, looking back on it, I think of it now as a good experience. But boy, there were some times where people would sweat. Now, is there a favorite memory you had? Now, the ones that stick out in my mind are the cheeseburger in paradise and the A&W root beer bear things. But is there something that's during the show, not anybody who particularly came in, was there ever anything that happened during the show that sticks out in your mind?
You know what? There were so many of them over the years. I really don't have no one that really actually sticks out. They all run together, you know what I mean?
Well, I say it was weird because until I heard Cheeseburger in Paradise on the CD last night, I had not thought about that in a long time. And then this morning when I was coming in, for some reason, for the first time in years, that A&W Root Beer Bear story popped in my head. And it just made me laugh because I'll never forget how petrified that poor kid was in that and he was probably making minimum wage. And now here he is, claustrophobic in a big bear costume being put in a box.
Right, yeah, poor kid. Well, I'm sure he had a good experience, though. He can put that on his resume.
Tortured at a variety show.
There you go.
Aye, aye, aye.
All right, well, I hate to jump off here, but I have to get going. But nice chatting.
Yep.
I hope everybody has a good weekend and a good rainy day.
Have a good day. Good Friday.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, 57 minutes past the hour. If you'd like to call in and comment on any of that fun memory, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know if anybody ever attended any of those shows, but boy, some of the things that happened during those shows were awful interesting, to say the least. 740-383-9944. Give me a ring. I would love to hear what you think. They were just they were interesting moments. Now, don't forget, coming up next hour, we're going to read the bicentennial moment in memory of the day. We've got that coming up. We've also got something involving fruitcake. Oh my goodness, you're not going to want to miss this. We've got something involving fruitcake, which I know that you all know that I just love immensely. So get ready for that. We've got a fruitcake segment coming up. And we've also got a little thing we're going to do here this morning, kind of a fun little game we're going to play. So you're not going to want to go anywhere for love nor money. This is WWGH Radio. And then today we've got a whole slate of programming. Charlie Evers will be on today, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. And then the Exchange Club with Charlie and myself from 12:10 to 1 p.m. today, which is always a lot of fun. You don't want to miss that. So we'll open up the phone lines next hour. We'll do the bicentennial moment in memory of the day. We'll play this game. We're going to do the thing with the fruitcake. You can comment on anything we've talked about. That's how we're going to do it the rest of the morning here. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Watch out for the bear.
It's 107.1 FM.
We're in tune with WWGH, and we have a lot for you today, including the person we've been talking about for such a long time that was going to come again to WWGH, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers.
Speedy delivery.
Yay! Boy, that sure sounds familiar.
The place is WWGH. 107.1 FM. Welcome back.
I'm going to do one of my poems here tonight, Joe.
I hope so. And, the Tom Snyder Bob Hope story.
Oh,
that's
you want to hear it now?
No, we want to get the answer to the question.
Oh,
okay.
But your question is not, I disagree. Don't you disagree? Or don't
How you
agree
disagree
that
with
gossip,
the question?
Because it words. Gossip and tabloid.